Before we move forward, I have some really great news to share with you. And I can't wait another week to do this. I have to do this today. You know, if you've been coming here for any length of time, you know that we almost never talk about money here. Now, there's nothing wrong with talking about money in the church, but we don't take up an offering. We have that little black box in the back where people can give if they want to support the ministry of this church, and it's private between you and God. And that's just how we do it here. I feel like that's the best way to handle it for us. And we almost never talk about money. But a few weeks ago, Justin and I got up, and when we told you about a youth rally called Jailbreak 2006, which is going to be happening at the end of July, and Justin's going to be preaching a two-night crusade. There are about 20 churches coming together involved in this. We've rented a 700 or 800 seat auditorium. We're just praying for phenomenal things to happen. We got up a few weeks ago and said that we had been asked, each church had been asked to give $300 towards this special event. At the beginning of this year, the very first Sunday of this year, I brought a message entitled, Bringing Your Best to God. And I challenged each of you to make a commitment to God this year to not bring Him your leftovers, not bring Him your second best, but bring Him your best. And I followed up in the weeks right after that, and I brought a series called Investing Your Life for God. And I challenged you in that series that this year in 2006 together, we want to do what David did, where when he was offered that free land to build the temple for his God, remember what he said? He said, I will not offer to the Lord my God burnt offerings which cost me nothing. And I challenged you to give of yourselves to the Lord this year. When you hear him speaking to you, to give of yourself, your time, your talents, your gifts to him in a way that costs you something. And I believe that this church took that to heart. Because we asked you guys to give $300. Now, you know what clappers are, right? They're on the end of your arms. We're getting pretty good at using them around here. We're starting to relax a little bit. And we know that it's okay to clap in church, right? God says, clap your hands and lift up your voice and praise me. I want you to get ready in just a second to clap your hands and give God praise for what he did through you. Are you ready for this? $300 is what we pledged. On that morning, with almost no advance notice, this church gave $2,533.63. This is amazing. You're letting God use you, and I am so excited. This is just the tip of the iceberg. I shared with you during that series of Investing Your Life for God some verses from 2 Corinthians 8. Don't turn there. I just want to read these to you because this describes this church. Paul said, and now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. We could say, I want you to know about the grace that God has given Life Point Church. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up into rich generosity. Listen, for I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. Amen, Life Point Church. I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you rising to this challenge. And I'm telling you, you know, those few pennies that some of the kids gave, the 63 cents you see there, God took that and he's already multiplied it. And he's going to do great things through that. So I could not let this service go on without telling you that great news. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. Well, today we're going to celebrate communion together. And we sort of change up our whole service for that and do things a little bit differently. And I want to ask you to turn to a very familiar passage before we come to the Lord's table, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we're going to read some words that I know you've heard many times if you've been in church at all. And there's a danger sometimes in hearing things so often that we tune them out after a while. But I pray this morning as we look very, very briefly at this passage before the Lord's Supper, that we'll be able to catch a fresh glimpse into what these verses are calling us to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 23, the Apostle Paul is writing to a church he had started years before. The church has gotten itself in a mess. They've got all kinds of problems in the church. And one of the problems that Paul has heard about is that they're rushing into the Lord's Supper without really remembering what it's all about. And so he wrote these words to them to remind them of the importance of this matter. And I would share those with you today. 1 Corinthians 11, 23. He said, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Verse 25. "In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.' For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Here there's sorrow and there's joy wrapped up in that last phrase. The Lord's death, and yet he's coming again. Verse 27. "Therefore," he's warning them now, "whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord." Now let me just say, this is not the part we're going to focus on. This does not mean you and I have to reach some level of perfection before we can celebrate the Lord's Supper together. He's simply saying to them, guys, if you're going to rush into this thing and you're not going to take some time and examine yourselves before the Lord, if you're going to just eat and drink the Lord's Supper and forget about what he did for you, you're headed for trouble. Verse 28, "A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord," there's the issue there. Anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. I've talked to you before about the importance of not forgetting, the importance of remembering what this is all about. And this morning I want to spend just a few moments talking to you about what it is that we're supposed to remember when we celebrate the Lord's Supper. When you hear the words of Jesus, "Do this in remembrance of me," and as you come to the Lord's table, what does that phrase, "Do this in remembrance of me," really mean to you? Does it mean that we're supposed to call to mind some distant historical facts and think about them for a few minutes? It's not what it means to me. If that's all that communion means to a person, they are missing the true point of the very definition of the word communion itself. What does it mean, "Do this in remembrance of me"? Do those words stir anything at all inside of us? Or is it just an event that we do in our church from time to time? "Do this in remembrance of me." When I hear those words, I hear Jesus saying, "Remember me in the garden on the night that I would be betrayed by one of my very own men. Remember me praying for my disciples, loving them, caring for them, when I know that before the night is over, every one of them will forsake me. Remember me being arrested and falsely accused and slapped in the face. Remember how I was blindfolded and the Roman soldiers played a game with me called the hot hand. Whereas I was blindfolded, they balled up their fist and punched me in the face and then cried out, "Prophesy, who hit you?" Remember that. Remember that a crown of thorns was not only placed upon my head, but they took sticks, the Bible says, and they beat it into my head until the blood ran down my face. Remember me that way. Remember as they draped a purple robe around my shoulders and they bowed before me, mocking me, jeering me, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." Remember me that way. Remember as I was beaten and pulverized so severely that I was unrecognizable as a man. Remember that I didn't strike back. Remember that I didn't punch the guards in the face, but I remained silent as a sheep goes to the slaughter. Remember that I could have called legions of angels to wipe out the very ones who were mocking me and prove that I was God. As the song says, he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me. Remember me as those iron spikes were hammered through my hands and my feet, as the sword pierced my side. Remember me as I hung on that cross naked and in shame before the eyes of the world, as the people walked by and hurled insults at me, saying, "He saved others, but he can't save himself." Remember as they spat upon me on the cross and their spit ran down my body. Remember me that way. Remember me having such love and compassion for the very ones who were killing me that I cried out to my Father, "Please, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Remember that on that cross I not only died, but I took upon myself the sins of the whole world. And I bore the wrath and the punishment of God upon myself for your sins. Remember me that way. This morning as we come to the table and we break the bread, remember, it was broken for you. His body was broken for you. Remember, as the juice passes over your lips, remember the blood that was spilled, that fell to the ground in a pool at the foot of the cross as his life slipped away, that blood was shed as the final sacrifice for sins, for you. Remember that Jesus bore the sins of the world and that he died so that you would not have to. Remember him that way. John 6:35, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger. Whoever believes in me will never thirst. I wonder this morning, as we come to celebrate the Lord's Supper, if there's anyone here who has never tasted of the bread of life. And there is still a hunger inside your soul that haunts you every day and night of your life. And maybe you've tried to fill that emptiness and that hunger with pleasures and pursuits and careers and money and friendships. And yet as you sit here this morning, you're hungry in your soul. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I'm the one who was broken for you. Taste of me. Eat this bread of life. Drink this living water, and you'll never hunger again. You'll never thirst again. This morning, men, women, boys, girls, if you're here today and you've never tasted of this bread of life, you can do that this morning. You can have that hunger filled inside of your soul today before you leave here by simply calling on Jesus Christ, asking Him to come into your life and forgive you of your sin, which He has already paid for, but you must accept the gift. And He will make you a brand new person today. Today. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, as we come to the Lord's table this morning, Lord, may we understand and feel the weight of the truth of what all this means. Lord, it is with mixed emotions that we come to the Lord's table every time. We remember the death of the Lord, and it is with sorrow that we remember all that He endured on our behalf. And yet, Lord, it is with joy that we ponder all that His death accomplished for us. And we think of the words of John Newton, the great hymn writer, who said, "With pleasing grief and mournful joy, my spirit now is filled. That I should such a life destroy, yet live by Him I killed." Lord, may we understand what it is that You did for us. You took our place. You bore our sin. And in exchange, You gave us eternal life. And I ask, Lord, if there's one person here this morning who is not in Your family, who does not know You, I pray that right now, in this moment, they will call upon You. They will cry out to You and ask You to come into their life and be their Savior and their Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.